Melissa Harris-Perry in for Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. Hold on tight, because we're shaking things up a bit. Now, we usually bring you the weekly politics takeaway on Fridays. But today, we're going to flip it, change it, or rearrange it. See, when you tune in tomorrow, instead of politics, you're getting a very special episode commemorating Juneteenth and celebrating Father's Day. We've been hard at work on it, so please don't miss it. That means today is politics. And we're going to check in on the Biden-Putin meetup, or was it a square-off, that happened in Geneva. We'll dig into the legal and political strategy motivating the legal challenges to targeted COVID relief. And Professor Brittany Cooper will join us to discuss the politics of time. Yes, time is political. But first, we begin in California, where there have been a lot of changes in the past year. First, the junior senator from California, well, she became the vice president.
I, Kamala Davie Harris, do solemnly swear
that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend.
President Joe Biden also tapped California's Attorney General Javier Becerra to lead the Department of Health and Human Services.
Mr. President-elect, Madam Vice President-elect, I am honored and excited to join your team.
And you guessed it, all this shuffling at the top left a critical vacancy in the role of California's Attorney General, a vacancy now filled with another history maker.
Rob Bonta, California Attorney General.
Rob Bonta is the first Filipino-American to serve as Attorney General of California. He assumes the role after serving for nearly a decade in the California State Assembly, representing District 18. That's the East Bay, or as rapper Too Short would remind you, now, I sat down with Attorney General Bonta earlier this week, and I asked him what inspired his life in public service.
My father marched in Selma, organizing for civil rights and voting rights. Both my parents worked for the United Farm Workers of America. We actually lived in the headquarters of La Paz in a trailer a stone's throw away from the home of Cesar Chavez. And my mom organized for the restoration of democracy in the Philippines after Ferdinand Marcos became a dictator and violated human rights repeatedly for the people of the Philippines. And it was that spirit to uplift other people and right wrongs and make people's lives better that inspired me to get into public service.
With this appointment, Bonta is finishing out the remainder of Becerra's term, which means he's up for re-election in 2022. And the primary is only about a year away. In politics, that means the campaign is already in full swing. So we spoke about taking on such a big job with such a compressed timeline.
I'm incredibly excited for the opportunity to be in this role. And yes, there's an election, in a primary election in less than a year, in June of next year. So as I have served in the role of California Attorney General, I'm also running for a full four-year term. And I think the best way, the best audition to be able to continue in the role you're in is to do a good job while you're in the role. And every day I roll up my sleeves and the first thing on my mind is how can I make the lives of Californians better today? And that's what we focus on. So many areas as we emerge from the pandemic and an economic recession, and we still confront a racial justice reckoning, a climate crisis, a homelessness and housing affordability crisis. There's so many areas where I can move the needle as California Attorney General and provide relief and comfort to those in pain and to help those who are hurting.
Let's start with one of those areas, and this is around criminal justice. So in California right now, there are these very reformed-minded district attorneys in Los Angeles and San Francisco, and the reality is that many of them, or much of what they've experienced in their reform-mindedness has been critique, criticism, some might call it attack. So I want to hear from you about sort of how you're thinking about the fundamental questions of safety and of justice and what that looks like when it comes to real policy issues like bail reform.
Well, it starts with my position that every Californian deserves to be safe in their community. And that's a top priority for me to ensure that they are safe through all the tools and the levers that I have in the California Attorney General's office. It's important to have safe communities, and I'm absolutely committed to making that happen and that is a top priority. It's also important that we look at all of our systems and make sure that they're working, that they do make people safe, that they are fair, that they are just, and fairer, more just systems in criminal justice are also safer. And so it's important to look at things like bail reform that you mentioned. Bail does not ask any question about safety, the way money bail works. The only question it asks is, how much money do you have in your pocket? It doesn't ask what your risk to the community is. It doesn't ask if what the safety risk is. It doesn't even care to. All it says is, how much money do you have? And it punishes poor people for being poor. It makes the jailhouse door swing open and close based on how much money is in your pocket. It's essentially pay to play. And I proposed a reform where we did ask that question. What is the safety risk of the individual, and not ask how much money do you have in your pocket, and make decisions based on actual safety risk. So that, and it's more fair that way. It's more just that way, and it's safer that way. So that's a classic example of how we can acknowledge and must acknowledge a fundamentally a broken part of our criminal justice system, and can provide reform that is both safe and just.
I'd like to talk with you a little bit about police accountability. I know that you have talked about being open to an investigation potentially of the killing of Sean Monterosa by Vallejo police. I know there's a push in California to reopen the Oscar Grant killing. Where are you on these cases and on police accountability more broadly?
Police accountability is a really important part of my priorities. We are implementing a really important bill that I co-authored called Assembly Bill 1506, which requires that the California Attorney General conduct independent investigations of officer-involved shootings that result in the death of a Californian. And I know that law enforcement are critical parts of our communities and invaluable, and that the vast majority want to build that trust between law enforcement and community that is too often missing today in too many places and in too many ways. And we also need to have accountability, because you can't have trust without accountability. And accountability is critical, and something that the Attorney General has an important role in playing when it comes to the Sean Monterosa case. There was inaction and uncertainty, and I wanted to change that, and I did. We committed to conducting an independent review of that case. We're doing that now. That is happening. That decision has been made. We are in the process of conducting that independent review now. The state of California, our communities, the Vallejo community, the family of Mr. Monterosa deserve nothing less. They deserve an independent, thorough review, and for that review to go wherever the facts and the law lead.
Let's talk about accountability in another arena. California is among many things, as you said, as goes California, so goes the nation, maybe even the world. And so the question of tech firms and accountability of tech is something that, you know, is going to be critical in part for the work that you're doing. I'm interested in how you might be thinking about managing issues around enforcing consumer protection, around racial algorithmic bias in tech, and simply using your platform to push even the federal government to do more on these tech accountability questions.
Tech accountability is a top priority for me. And I see the role of the California Attorney General as being the people's attorney, of standing up for everyday people, making sure that the scales of justice are balanced, and essentially protecting the little guy from the overreach of power and the abuse of power by the big guy, whoever the big guy is, and no matter how big they are or who they are, including big tech. And it's important for consumers, for Californians, to have their privacy protected, their consumer rights vindicated and honored and respected. And if that means taking on big tech, we have and we will to make sure that the rules are being followed and that there is not manipulation or abuse that is contrary to the law. And so California is really important in this arena. So are the alliances we've built with attorneys general throughout the state, including New York and other states. We often work in tandem to identify an issue that's hurting consumers. Often if big tech is crossing a line or violating a rule in California, it is not necessarily restricted only to California. It can impact other consumers throughout the nation. So it's a top priority for me. We're working with our colleagues throughout the nation and focusing on everyday folks to make sure that they're free from abuse, treated lawfully and appropriately, and that their privacy is protected and that their consumer rights are honored.
We're in a time when much of the nation is acknowledging the violence against AAPI communities, and not only acknowledging it, but recognizing that it has been discursive violence, structural violence, and now very serious physical violence. Given your particular historic role in representing not only the state of California, but also as a Filipino American, having a very particular position around representation, will you be using your platform and your actual powers of office to address these AAPI violence issues?
Absolutely. Addressing anti-AAPI hate violence is a top priority for me. I say to the API community, I see you, I value you, I am you. And I am feeling and experiencing many of the same things that the API community generally is throughout the state and throughout the nation. We're in a full-on state of emergency, a full-on state of crisis. We are all rightfully concerned, anxious, worried, sometimes frightened, often angry about what's happening. My own mother reached out to me, 83-year-old mother, and said, I'm planning to take a lift into the city, and do you think it's safe, given all the anti-API hate? And it's just an ordinary trip to attend a meeting and see some friends. And I said, I don't think it's safe. Let's make arrangements for me to take you, or for a family member to take you, and we change plans. That is how so many API community members are feeling right now, just the fear of conducting everyday activities, running errands, going for a walk, being on public transportation. And so it's my role to stand with our API community, to fight for them, to address the forces of hate and take them on, to make sure that perpetrators of hate are held accountable and that victims are allowed to heal. And in that regard, we have set up the Racial Justice Bureau in the California Attorney General's office to take on organizations that are organized around hate and white supremacy, to work with local law enforcement to make sure that they know all the best practices to investigate and identify hate crimes and acts of hate violence, and bring those who perpetrate those acts to justice. That we're working on other issues to protect our community members, like campus climate issues, making sure that young people are treated with support services and healing instead of punitive and discriminatory policies. So we are focusing on racial and social justice and addressing the urgency of now with hate violence in our Racial Justice Bureau and with other work that we have within the Attorney General's office. So we can provide the support, healing, and be the champion that our API communities need right now.
Attorney General, just real quick, we talked at the very beginning about now having to run for office relatively swiftly after being appointed. Do you have any candidate that you might be endorsing for your former assembly seat?
I do. I am endorsing an incredible leader named Mia Bonta, the president of the Alameda School Board, and a powerful leader for social and racial and economic justice. Congressmember Barbara Lee is also endorsing her. And there's no one I believe in more. I've known her since I was 17 years old. That's when we met. We've been partners in life and partners in service. And having served this incredible assembly district, which I believe is the most enlightened and most social justice oriented in the entire state, and having the honor and privilege of representing this district and knowing what it takes over the last almost decade, I know that she will be an incredible leader and have everything that it takes and more to provide the service and leadership that this district deserves.
Attorney General Rob Bonta, California's new Attorney General, thank you for joining me today.
Honored to be with you, Melissa. Thank you for having me.